Hello, I'm Lee Benton, pastor of the Open Door Baptist Church. Our congregation and myself would like to take this opportunity to thank you for listening to the sermon today. Our prayer is that the message will help you to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. May the Lord bless you and keep you is our prayer. Acts chapter number 3, I'm going to be looking, Lord will, in the first 10 verses today. But while you're standing, we're just going to read verse number 6 today. Verse number 6 of Acts chapter number 3. I appreciate you being here. You do pray. I counted about 28 of our regulars that are out today. Some are at hospitals with family. Some are out of town. Some are working. And some are sick. And so really pray for those that are out. And when you only average around 100 on Sunday, when you have about 30 out, it takes a big hit on the folks that are in the pew. But it's still... It's a blessing to have you today, and for those that join in our service through the via the website, the live streaming, we thank God for them. We're getting emails. I got an email from someone, I believe in Kansas, that emailed us and said that they participate in our service on Sunday morning, and they download a lot of the sermons and studies, and that was a real blessing to our heart, and I really appreciate what the Lord is doing with the Open Door Baptist Church. Acts chapter number 3, verse number 6. If you're there, will you give me an amen? All right, the Bible says, then Peter says, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Silver and gold have I none. There ought to be some amens in here after that statement was made. Amen? Maybe you got more money than I thought you did. But such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. I heard a preacher say one time that his favorite Bible character was Peter. Because he related to Peter, because Peter said, silver and gold have I none. Amen. But Peter had something greater than silver and gold. Amen. And we're going to study that today in Acts chapter number 3. Lord, help us today. I pray that you'll breathe upon me, use me in a great way. We'll thank you and praise you because you're worthy of that in Christ's name. Amen and amen. Now, as we finished chapter 2 last Lord's Day, we studied out the sermon that God used for Peter to preach to these folks that had been Jews, that were steeped in Judaism, and how that God used the Apostle Peter in a great way. And the Bible tells us in the last few verses of chapter 2 that many were saved. The number is exactly 3,000 souls were saved in verse number 41. So what an increase from 120 of the first members of the New Testament church to now over 3,000, over 3,100 now, make up the New Testament church of Jesus Christ. And the Bible says in the latter part of chapter 2 that they had all things common, and it just shares their testimony, their character, their godly character that they had, how they loved each other, how they fellowship with each other, how they gave their tithe and offering to the ministry of the church so that the gospel could be presented as much as possible to their community and ultimately later on to other parts of the world through Paul and Silas and Barnabas and those missionaries that would go out. And the Bible says that they praised God in verse 47. They had favor with the people. I mean, God was just really doing a work through these Christians. Now, I want to say to you that the book of Acts, once again, is a record of Christians that had wholly given themselves unto the Lord for His glory. And these were vessels of honor. These were clean vessels. These folks were not vessels of dishonor. They were not vessels that were dirty. They were vessels that longed to have the right relationship with their Savior, Jesus Christ. They longed to be filled up and touched by the Holy Spirit of God. And so the Bible says because of their willingness and because of their full surrender to the work of God since their salvation, God used them in a very mighty way. Now, as we get into chapter number 3, we're going to have a specific example of God using some of the members of this early New Testament church. And, of course, the example is the example that we read of Peter and John. Now, you know Peter and John were made up the apostle core there of the church, and we know that Peter and John prior to that were disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we know that Peter and John is going to do some great things for the Lord, and it seems to me that of all the 3,120 Christians, that God would give us a record to show the example of how He empowered them as they were doing His work, that He ought to give us the example of the leaders of the church. Let me say this. Leaders of the church, from the pastor to the deacon to the Sunday school teacher, if we don't have God's touch, if we're not living right, don't get upset that the rest of the church is not. Amen. It starts with leadership. And so the Bible gives us an example of leaders, Peter and John, the examples of the early church that were used of God in a very, very great way. Now, I will say this before we dive into these 10 verses this morning. I would say to you that you must remember that Pentecost is gone. Pentecost is no more. The day of Pentecost is gone. The feast of Pentecost is gone. The wonderful miracle that happened at Pentecost, the descending of the Holy Spirit indwelling the believers, that has now been over with. There will be no more times in the Word of God where the Pentecost will be repeated. So often the Pentecostals and the charismatic are praying, oh, we need a revival, we need the Holy Spirit to fill us up. Listen to me, Pentecost will not be repeated. Pentecost can't be repeated, just like Jesus being born at Bethlehem will never be repeated. Just like the Lord dying at Calvary, that'll never be repeated. Just like the Lord resurrecting from the grave in the garden, that'll never be repeated. Just like the Lord ascending from the Mount of Olives, that'll never be repeated. This is a one-time occurrence. It was a fulfillment from the prophet Joel through the inspiration of God, where he said the Holy Spirit would come and that the cloven tongues of fire would come down upon these 120 and that there would be a sound of a mighty rushing wind. The cloven tongues are gone. You'll not read again of a sound of a mighty rushing wind. It's gone. Now these believers are touched by the Holy Spirit. They're filled up by the Holy Ghost. And now it's time for them to go out, as Matthew 28 records, the words of the Lord, go you into all the world and preach the gospel. They've got their tank filled up, and now it's time to go. Can I get a witness? And that's what's happening here at the latter part of chapter 2 and chapter number 3 and so forth. We're going to see that these men and women now are filled with the Holy Ghost. They are controlled by. The book of Ephesians says, be ye filled with the Holy Spirit. The word filled means to be controlled by the Holy Spirit. We're going to read the record of men and women who were controlled by the Holy Spirit, and God did a great work through them for His glory. Amen and amen. By the way, if you and I would get controlled by the Holy Spirit, God would do great things through us too. Can I get a witness? Amen. God is no respecter of persons, especially when it comes to His own children. If you and I would get sin out of our heart and we would get lined up with the book, amen, not the suggestions or the advice of the ungodly on the television or the radio station, but if we'd get lined up with the Bible, God's word for me, amen, we'd get lined up with it and we'd get controlled by the Holy Ghost, God would do great things through us too. What's the greatest thing God could do through us? Reaching others for Jesus Christ. No greater work. I'm not talking about doing miracles. I'm talking about being used of God to see folks saved. No greater miracle in all the world than a whole sinner being born again. Hey, man, his slate being washed clean by the precious, priceless, purifying blood of Jesus Christ. And so now let's get into chapter 3. Here's the example. The Bible says Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they lay daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. Verse 4, and Peter fastened his eyes upon him and with John and said, look on us. And he, speaking of this lame beggar, gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him up by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, this once crippled man, leaping up, stood and walked, and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. What a wonderful miracle. This is the first recorded miracle that God did through his men, through his church. And we're going to talk about that this was a miracle not by the hand of man, but it was a miracle by the hand of the Lord. Amen? It's all about the Lord, and we'll see that here in a little bit. You and I can't glory in anything we've ever done because without salvation we'd be in hell, or we sure would be heading that way right now. Can I get a witness? But I'm telling you, God's going to do a work in this lame man's life. Now watch this. Now you must understand this before we get into this story. There is one main mission, one main commission that the Lord has given the New Testament church. There's only around, if we added up 120 and 3,000 were saved, and we say, well, there's not quite 3,200 Christians that have sold out to the Lord. 3,200 Christians that are filled up with the Holy Spirit, and they're doing a great work for the Lord. God has placed these Christians at this particular time in the history of mankind so that they can be used to establish churches, New Testament Bible-believing churches, all across Asia Minor. And eventually, because of the Roman government and how they brought the world together, they're going to spread the gospel to the whole world. And so the Bible says that there's an example here of how a lame man was healed, but the story is a story that goes beyond somebody able to walk again. In this story, we're going to see how you and I, as sinners, is pictured in this lame man that sat by the gate Beautiful. Now, notice what the Bible says. Bear with me. Notice what the Bible says, that Peter and John went up together in the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. I told you last Lord's Day that the third hour would have been 9 a.m., the sixth hour would have been 12 noon, and then the ninth hour, 3 hours later, would be 3 p.m. There were three times during the day from 6 a.m. to 3 p.m. that the Jews gathered to pray. David said it clearly: evening, 6 p.m., morning, 9 a.m., and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he'll hear my voice. So three times these Jews would gather and pray. Boy, I thought about that this morning. I said, man, Lord, if I could get in that habit of three times, not just saying a little prayer as I go along, but I'm talking about three times a day praying, at 9, at 12, and 3. If we all could do that, I know a lot of you got public jobs, and it'd be hard for you to do that, but maybe you could make your 9 a.m., 6 a.m., or 5 a.m., and 12, you could, maybe if your lunch is at 12 or at 1, you can make that a time of prayer. And then at 3, maybe you can make it at 5 or make it at 6, and I don't think you have to be just like Judaism or these early Christians performed or did. I don't believe that, but maybe three times a day, three specific times a day, you take time to pray. I wonder what God would do with us. And the Bible says that They're going up at the ninth hour, 3 p.m. Now, the Bible calls the ninth hour in verse 1 the hour of prayer. The ninth hour was called the hour of prayer. Now, the hour of prayer at 3 p.m. always came 30 minutes after the evening sacrifice. They first had the evening sacrifice, and then they had the hour of prayer, or the ninth hour. What are you saying, preacher? I believe if you and I would first give ourselves to the Lord, that's what a sacrifice was. It was given to the Lord for their sins. It was given sometimes as a thanksgiving offering, but it was a sacrifice, something that was given. And if you and I would first give ourselves to the Lord, if we would first do that and say, Lord, I'm yours, and we first would do that and then pray, we would be able to say, Lord, not my will, but your will be done. Why? Because we first have give ourselves to the Lord. Okay? And so the Bible says they went up together to pray. Now, write this down. There's two things that just I want to say about Peter and John, because it relates to you and I now that we're saved and serving the Lord. There's two things that happened, or they did, that was, I believe, the reasons that God used them, or the Lord used them in a great way to perform this miracle. I believe, first of all, they were empowered, E-M-P-O-W-E-R-E-D, empowered by Holy Spirit. They were empowered by the Holy. You know that according to the last two chapters that God has fulfilled His promise. The Holy Spirit has descended and filled up these believers. We just read in chapter 2 how 3,000 folks were saved. Who was preaching the message? Peter was preaching it. He had the touch of God on his life at this time. John had the touch of God on his life at this time. And so I believe the Lord chose these two, and the Lord used them for His glory, because number one, they was empowered by Holy Spirit. I believe the second reason that they were used of God in a great way in chapter 3 is because they were exercising their Christianity. They were exercising their Christianity. You know, you've heard folks that can talk, but they can't walk the talk. Can I get a witness? Anybody know what I'm talking about? They can really talk it up. My daughter was telling me somebody on the JV volleyball team, she plays varsity and JV, and she's got to play both of them. And she said, there's a girl there that she's all talk, Dad. She just acts like she's the best volleyball player. She said, but Dad, her walk don't line up with her talk. That's exactly what she said. 13 years old, her walk don't line up with her talk. She ain't backing up what she's saying. But I'm telling you what, Peter and John backed up what they said. They walked with the Lord. Look what it says. They, number one, had unity. Boy, we could preach on that for about an hour and a half. They both had unity. The Bible says Peter and John went up together. You know what's wrong with a lot of preachers today? They're jealous. They're jealous. They don't like if so-and-so has more members or has a bigger salary or has a Christian school or doesn't have a Christian school. They're just jealous of each other. They don't like to hear that they had 10 saved one Sunday, and they just don't like it. They're jealous. A lot of Christians, same way, jealous one with another. They just don't like them. They don't like to know that maybe some people think they're better Sunday school, that person's a better Sunday school teacher than they are, a better singer, or whatever it is. They just get jealous. And that's where we lack the unity. But the Bible says these two men were preachers, apostles, but they didn't have an ego problem, amen. It wasn't about them, can I get a witness? It was about the Lord. And the Bible says that they went up together. I had a preacher call. He's a local pastor. He's only probably about 5 minutes from here, and I wouldn't tell you where it is, but he called me the other day, and he left me a message. He wanted to talk to me. And he called me and told me that he had met a person that, I guess this was Saturday he called me, or Friday, and said that he met somebody out visiting that said that he didn't go to church, but if he went to church, he would probably go to Open Door Baptist Church because some of his family go here. And he said, preacher, I got talking to so-and-so. He said, I want to tell you, I appreciate a man of God that's got some character with other people. He said, I know this man's lost. Am I right? And I said, yeah, as far as I know, this man's lost on his road to hell. He said, a lost man had so much respect for you. He said he told about the things you've done for his family and the things you've visited in the hospital and you've been here and you've been there. He said when he talked about you, it seemed as if he was speaking with such pride. He said it was like he was claiming you as his pastor. He said, preacher, I hear so much about other pastors. He said, I'm not talking about those that stand up for what's right and people run them down. He said, but I hear so many negative things about pastors and how they're unfriendly, unkind, they're unfaithful, they don't do a work for the church, they don't have a heart for the church. He said, I'm so sick of it. He said, but when I went and talked to this man and he spoke so well of you and how much he respected you, he said, it refreshed my spirit. And I just had to call and tell you, thank you for having a testimony for the Lord in the community. I didn't say that toot my little horn. God knows my heart. I'm saying it. I'm not going to preach to you to walk what you're talking if the preacher man's not doing it. Amen. And I'm telling you, we got to walk our talk. And I'm telling you, we need to get to the place where we're so close to God that folks see Jesus in us. They might not understand it, but they see something there that they don't normally see in other people. And I'm telling you what, he said, preacher, he said, you know how I preach. He said, we've lost some people here lately. He said, I said, brother, I said, if I had everybody here that said they got saved here, I said, we couldn't fit in an auditorium. I told my wife, I said, I figured we'd have about 225 now, maybe 250 in our church. If I would have compromised, if I wouldn't preach the truth, they'd still be here. But I'm not going to do it. I'm not being mean, but I'm going to stick with the Word of God. That's what I've got to do. I've got to please the Lord before I try to please you. And if your heart's right, if I please Him, you'll be pleased with me. Amen. And so he was talking about that, and I was giving him some advice about some things. He told me about a church issue, and we were discussing that. And I thought to myself, Lord, I'm not always a super Christian or great Christian. Lord, there's sometimes I just fall flat on my face. But it encouraged my heart to know that there's people out there that says that preacher is real. He walks the talk. Peter and John walked the talk. They didn't have an ego problem one with another. I told this preacher, I said, preacher, I pray that God blesses so-and-so Baptist church family and blesses Pastor so-and-so. I hope God blesses you. I hope you see a bunch of folks saved. I said, preacher, there's going to be folks come to my church that won't fit in your church, and there's going to be folks that come over here visiting, and they won't fit in over here. They fit in better over you. I said, your style may be a little different than mine, and the way you go about things, I said, may be different. It may not appeal to them when they come in here. But I said, it's all about winning folks to Jesus Christ. Peter and John didn't have an ego problem, did they? They went up together. And they were exercising their Christianity because they had unity, and second of all, because they spent time in prayer. Amen. They had unity, and they spent time in prayer, or they fellowship with the Lord. Listen, how are you going to know what you ought to do as a husband, as a father, as a wife, as a mother, as a person, as a Christian, if you don't report to the general? If you don't report to your commander-in-chief, your Savior, how are you going to know what your orders are for the day? Some of you men, we've got like 7 or 8 men that served in the military, some branch of service for the United States of America. We're honored that you're part of our church. God bless your service for our country. I salute you in the name of the Lord and thank God for you. But you men know that if you didn't report to your commanding officer, you wouldn't know what your duties were that day or that mission or whatever it may be. You had to report. You had to not only report, but you better obey. Can I get a witness? Amen. What is it? Is it KP? What does they call that? Kitchen patrol? Is that it, Brother William? That was called Dave? And I think a lot of Christians are on KP right now. Amen. Because they're not obeying the commander-in-chief, Jesus Christ. We need to have unity. We need to not only be empowered by the Holy Spirit, we need to exercise our Christianity. Watch this in closing. The Bible says that there was a certain man. I want you to see this man and listen to me. Don't close your Bibles. Listen to me very carefully. You're going to see, if you allow the Holy Ghost of God to work in your heart, you're going to see yourself when you was a sinner when you look at this man. First of all, I want you to notice the Bible says there was a certain man. The Bible does not say there was a man. The Bible does not say there was one of those in the city. The Bible doesn't record that there happened to be a man. The Bible says there was a certain man. I'm telling you right now, you're not going to go to heaven on the coattail of your parents. You're not going to go to heaven on the coattail of the preacher. You're not going to go to heaven on the merits of anybody else. Salvation is an individual thing between you and God. And that's all it involves. The Bible says a certain man. You and I were certain sinners on our way to hell. Every one of us had to be saved. Why? Because every one of us, Jesus died for. There's not one of us in this auditorium or who's listening or in this world. We're not quite at 7 billion in the world right now. But and the ones that have lived prior to today and those that will live, be born in the today and tonight and in the future, there's not a one of these people that Jesus did not die for. He died for every one of us. The songwriter said, if I was the only one on earth, I believe Jesus would have died for me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. A certain man, number two, notice that he was lame from his mother's womb. He was lame. You know what that means when it says he was lame? It simply means that he could not walk. He could not walk. May God show you and I a picture of us. Not only us before we were saved, Brother Albert, but a picture of a world that we're supposed to go you out and reach for the glory of God. That is why this story is here, to open our eyes that there are folks out there that were just like us. They were lame on their feet. Physically, he could not walk. Spiritually, the Bible says that a sinner cannot walk in the ways of God. The Bible says that every man's way, speaking of the sinner, is right. His ways is right in his own eyes. I'm telling you what, you and I, before we met the Lord, we could not walk in the ways of God. We could not walk with God. We were lame. Couldn't do it. Number two, it says that he was lame from his mother's womb. Ever since this boy was born, he's over 40 years old, we'll read eventually. Ever since he was born over 40 years ago, he could not walk from his mother's womb. You know what the Bible says about you and I before we met the Lord, and it says about sinners today. Isaiah 58 says, it's talking about Israel, but it's a picture of all sinners, that we are transgressors from the womb. In Psalms 58, the psalmist David said that we all went astray from the womb, speaking lies. Speaking lies. You know, I know that if a child does not reach the age of accountability, and I do not know what the age of accountability, I've heard people say it's 12 years old, hogwash. It's different, I believe, with different children. How can a child go to church every Sunday and then a child in the jungles of Africa never go to church, don't even know what a church is, and they both, age of accountability is the same, hogwash. I believe it's when a child comes to the understanding of what the love of the Lord is and that they are a sinner and why Jesus died and that through His blood they can only be saved and that's the only way to heaven, that is when they finally reach that age of accountability. It could be at 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, maybe even 12. But the Bible says that we all were sinners from our mother's womb. David said, in the womb I was shaping in iniquity. We've come out lying, the Bible says. We come out complaining. Come on. Is complaining a sin? Is complaining a sin? Sure it is. It's a sin to complain. What does a baby do when they don't like what's going on? Ah! They're complaining. Sometimes a baby will lie to you. They will make you think they're hungry. Or they need to be held or they can't go to sleep. They're lying. I'm sorry, Miss Carrie. Sorry, Brother David. I know you got them precious baby girls, but I'm telling you, we are all sinners when we come out of the womb. Just the way it is. Now, we didn't become practicing sinners till later on when we understood right and wrong. But we all were lame from our mother's womb. Now, if a child dies before he reaches the age of accountability, he'll be in heaven, without a doubt. He'll be in heaven. And by the way, there's no Bible that says God has rocking chairs in heaven. There's no Bible for that. It sounds like a pretty song. It makes us all boo-hoo. But the Bible never says there's rocking chairs in heaven where God is rocking a precious little baby because they died at two. I don't believe that. I believe we'll be all the same age in heaven. And we'll not get to that, but I believe that. We'll be. And you say, well, there's no age in heaven. But it'll be about the same, earthly-wise, about the same age, what we would think earthly-wise. And so anyway, that's another sermon. Maybe we'll do that tonight. But a certain man was lame from his mother womb. And then watch this, number three. He was carried. I want you to think about this. Here's a man that could not walk. He's not walked for over 40 years. This man is as young as I am. And for all his life, I can't even imagine. When I look back at my life, I can't even imagine what it must have been like for as old as I am today, as old as this man was, to not be able to walk. And had to be carried everywhere he needed to go. You know what happens when people have to carry you? You know what happens when people have to take care of you because you can't take care of yourself? You know what happens when you have to be carried somewhere because you can't carry yourself there? Is that you're at their mercies. Come on. That's just the truth. If you can't walk, you're at the mercies of those that can help you get to where you need to go. If you can't take care of yourself, those at the nursing home, I go there and see them, and you can tell that's time for them to be cleaned up for whatever's happened with them. But it's not that the nursery workers there at the nursing home doesn't love them and take care of them. They're just not. They're at their mercies because they're dealing with other roommates there, other folks that are residents of the nursing home. So this man was at the mercy of other people. He, as the Bible says, you and I, we walked according, underline that word, Ephesians 2, we walked according to the lust of the flesh and according to the power of the prince of darkness. You know what that means? We're just like this lame man. We were under the control of Satan. The Bible says, John 8? Your father's the devil. And the lust or the desires of the devil, your father, you will do. You and I, as sinners, we were just tied up by the puppet strings of the devil. He was our father. We walked according to the course of this world, according to the power of the prince of this wicked earth. This man had to be carried. Then notice what it says. Not only was he carried, but it says they laid him daily at the gate. They take this man when they could. This man went when those that carried him wanted to carry him. No, there's a lot to the saying, at times, the devil made me do it for sinners, because that's basically what's happening. You're doing what the devil wants you to do. He controls you by the lust of your flesh, and we walked according to the course of this world. Not a lot of amens. I'm giving you Bible. You need to go home and read Ephesians 2 if you don't believe this preacher man today. Ephesians 2 says, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein we walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience." We walked according to his will, not God's will. This man could only go where the will of the other people wanted him to go. And then it says he was laid daily at the gate. Isn't it sad that this man was taken to the temple? He gets to the gate, but that's as far as he can go. The Bible does not tell you and I that this man ever, prior to this, got inside the gate. He was always laid at the gate or outside the gate. I know a lot of good people. A lot of good people. And they've been good. I've got family members, good people. They've never been born again. You know where they are? At the gate. Jesus Christ is the gate or the door to heaven. Judas kissed the gate of heaven and went to hell. There's a lot of people that's going to go to hell from the gate of heaven. They're never going to get inside the gate. They're going to get right at it. They're going to come to church like this, hear the gospel preached. They're going to fall under Holy Ghost conviction. They're going to have a co-worker tell them about the Lord. And they're going to think to themselves, I need to do that. Like Agrippa said, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. They're going to say, yeah, I need to do that. I'm going to do it sometime. My grandma was a good Christian. I'm going to do it. They're at the gate, but getting at the gate will not secure your eternal salvation in Christ Jesus. You must get beyond the gate. You must be in Christ, in the gate. That's the way sinners are today. Some folks say, I preached yesterday, and when I do a memorial service or a funeral, I just give the Bible. I do what God wants me to do, and I pray, and I close my Bible, and I go home. And I don't know, but somebody brought this up to me. They thought maybe the comment that was made was maybe towards me because of the message I gave about not judging people and not throwing rocks at people. And I didn't throw a rock at the memory of JT. I honored his memory. But I did say this, if you don't know the Lord, you're going to go to hell. And I guess that put him under conviction, put a little heat in his britches and the backside of his pants, and he didn't like it. But I'll tell you this, I don't care who don't like it. I've got to give you the Bible. And you can be at the gate all you want. You can be a good person and you can say, well, I don't judge nobody. I think all religions are okay. I don't believe in that. You go ahead. You're just like this lame man. You're at the gate, but you'll never get inside the gate. Because the Bible says if we judge ourselves, we should not or would not be judged by God. You know what happened when I got saved, Brother Chris? I judged myself. I put myself on the judgment plateau or podium platform, and I examined myself, and with the Holy Ghost's help, he showed me that I was lost and I was going to hell. And I judged myself. You know how I judged myself? I condemned myself by saying, Lord, I'm nothing but an old sinner and I'm on my way to hell. That's when I judged myself. You know why Jesus won't judge me now? It's because I judged myself first and asked him to save me. And now I'll never be judged for my sin of unbelief because I first judged myself. I first got to the place and said, I'm a rotten sinner. That's why I say you don't smack your bubble gum, come to the altar. Yeah, I'll be a Christian. Yeah. Yeah, I like to be a Christian. Yeah. No, you don't do that. You come judging yourself. You come humbling yourself. I remember when Chris Shaw got saved, I've been talking to him. Liz been praying for him. And he was sitting on this side. And I was up here. And I come over here. Here come Chris down the aisle. He about ran down the aisle. I remember as if it was yesterday. Don't you, Elizabeth? I remember. And he tackled me right here. I mean, he about tackled me right here. I knew then that boy likes football. And he tackled me and we fell down on, I don't know if it's this side or that side, around that corner. And I was able to take my Bible and lead Chris Shaw to the Lord Jesus Christ. I remember one Sunday morning I was standing here and Tim Houston tackled me. You ever been tackled by Big Tim? That's dangerous. But the Lord give me grace. Hallelujah. He tackled me. Why? Because they didn't come smacking their gum and yawning and think, yeah, I'll go ahead and get it over with. No, I'll go ahead. I want to do a little better in life. No, they came to the place where they said, I'm a rotten sinner. I'm going to hell. Lord, please save me. Amen. And old Tim Houston and Chris Shaw got inside the gate. Can I get a witness? Amen. So the Bible says that this was a certain man. He was lame. You and I were lame. We couldn't walk with the Lord. before we met him. We was crippled by sin. He was lame and crippled from his mother's womb. We were born sinners. Can I get a witness? Can you not see this today? Does anybody else see it besides me? Then the Bible says that the people had to carry him. We walked according to the course of this world. We walked according to the pleasures or the desires of Satan, our father. Then the Bible says that they lay daily at the gate of the temple. You know why one of the reasons he didn't get inside the gate, number one, because nobody helped him inside the gate, because guess what? Only way to get through the gate is between you and the Lord. Only the Lord can save you. But this gate was made of Corinthian brass. This gate was made by King Herod for the temple. The reason it was called beautiful, because it was 80 feet high, listen to me, 50 foot wide. It took around 20 men to open this gate. That's why it was called beautiful. It was set where the rising sun would shine its rays on that Corinthian brass, and it would glitter. It just looked like a city of gold. It was called beautiful. What an appropriate name for the gate like that. You know why he was on outside the gate? Because he didn't have the strength in himself to open the gate. You and I ain't got nothing in us to get into heaven. We're rotten. Our good works is filthy rags. We can't open the gate. We ain't got the strength in us. So what happened? We had to stay on the outside until the Lord brought us in. Then notice what it says. It says that he was called beautiful, and there he asked alms of them that entered in the temple. I'm not even going to get done today, but he asked alms. What does that mean, preacher? The word alms means more than money. People think, oh, that's talking about money. No, it's more than that. The word alms, A-L-M-S, in Webster's Dictionary means acts of kindness. It could mean giving somebody a dollar bill. It could mean giving somebody a ride to work. It could mean giving somebody, like I did at KFC the other day, giving a homeless man a meal. It could mean any of those things. That's what it means, just showing acts of kindness. I've been in heaven lately because the cooks gave us double yolk eggs. Hallelujah. Praise God. I could live off eggs every day. I love eggs. My daughter tell you she's got where she can make a great egg sandwich. And I say, Morgan. And she'll come in and roll her eyes. Egg sandwich, Dad? I said, please, baby. Lightly toasted, lightly mayonnaise, egg sandwich. And I don't eat one egg, fried egg on. I eat two fried eggs. Amen. My wife said, you're going to die of a heart attack. I said, I'll be smiling on the way out. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm going to die with the egg juice and the mayonnaise on the side of my mouth. Don't wipe it off if I'm laying in a casket. Leave it on my face. Amen. What a way to go. Hallelujah. I love it. That's an act of kindness. Holloway's brought our meal last night. You know how it costs? He had to pay for his four and our four. That's eight people. That's expensive. People do things for me all the time. Jimmy the other day, he said, preacher, we've not been able to play golf. He said, let's go golf. I'm going to buy you golf. Bought my golf. He said, I just want fellowship with you. People are doing stuff, and don't sit there, preacher, forgot me, because I probably have forgot you, because I've had so many acts of kindness done to me. So many acts of kindness. It's wonderful to not only receive kindness, I think it's even better to give kindness. You know, it's wonderful to receive it, but there's just something about doing it. It's just a better feeling, isn't it? You know, somebody dropped something in my wife's car at school, had some supplies in there, and we don't know who it was. Somebody dropped some stuff in there and gave it to my family. I don't know who it was. I don't know where it come from. The other day, I got a $100 bill in the mailbox. If that was anybody here, you know, it's been a while since I got that $100 bill. Could you make sure? You're behind. Amen. No, it's not $100. It's a $100 check. Praise God. And those are acts of kindness. Oh, I need that. Well, we're getting ready to move Morgan and Matt to a Christian school, and all the $800 registration and all the other things that were going on. Thank God for that $100. God knows what we need, don't He? And when good people, Christian people, show kindness one to another, it's a blessing. And the Bible says this man, he was asking alms. You know what that's a picture of? You and I, before we met the Lord, we were trying to get a hold of whatever that would make us happy. Are you hearing me? You remember that? When you and I were trying to get a hold of whatever would fill that void. He just asked for anything. And I want to say something about this man. He was a professional beggar. He was laid there daily. And later in this chapter, verse, in this story, we'll not get to it, the Bible says that everybody knew it was him that begged at the gate. This man was a professional beggar. You know what you and I were before we met the Lord? We were just professional beggars reaching out, trying to find something that would make us happy. Trying to reach here, reach there, reach for this, reach for that. Trying to do whatever we could do to fill that void. We were professional beggars. But then the Lord sent somebody by our way. When the Lord looked at us and said, there's no good in them, there's no use to even look their way, the Lord sent Peter and John by His way. You ought to be thankful for the ones that has came by your way before you met the Lord and they witnessed to you. They showed you Christian love. They preached to you. They taught Sunday school. Whatever it was, they hand you a gospel tract. You ought to thank God for the Peter and Johns in your life and say, Lord, thank you that you send somebody when I was always reaching and begging for something just to make me happy, and yet I came up unhappy every time. But thanks be to God, you sent somebody by my way, and they were obedient to give me the gospel truth and love, and they gave it to me, and I was able to have my blinded eyes open, and I was able to see that I'm a sinner. I was able to see that Jesus died for me. And I was able to get up from the condition I was by the help of Almighty God. He picked me up, David said, out of the miry clay of sin. And He set my foot on a solid rock. Hallelujah. Thank God. Such were some of you. Such were some of you. If you've been saved, you were just like this lame man. Just like them, spiritually speaking, just like them. But yet the Lord sent someone by to give you the gospel. And the Lord touched your heart. He convicted and He convinced and then He converted. You ought to praise the Lord that you once was blind, but now you see. You once was lame, but now you walk with the Lord. Glory be to God. So now our job is to what? Go out and get those beggars. Go get those lame people. They're broken by sin. They're handicapped by sin. They're crippled by sin. They're financially broke because of their sin. They throw their money away on all that alcohol and their drugs and all that immorality. They're financially broke. Can't even pay their bills. They can't even keep up their family in good clothes and nice shoes. They can't. Why? Because they're spiritually broken. But you tell them that they need to meet the Lord. And may God help us to go out and win them for the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you so much for listening to the sermon today. We hope and pray that you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. The Bible says in the Gospel of John, chapter 3, verse 16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." The Bible says in John chapter number 14 that Jesus saith unto them, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Me." Our prayer here at Open Door Baptist Church is that you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. The Bible says that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. No matter what you've done, no matter where you've been, Jesus Christ loves you. He died for you, and He's more than capable and more than willing to cleanse you from unrighteousness and from your sins and make you a child of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The Bible says if you repent, turn from your sin, and turn to Jesus Christ, and by faith believe in His death, His burial, and His resurrection for your salvation,
you too can be saved. Our prayer is that you think upon this and that very soon you'll make an eternal decision to receive Jesus as your personal Savior. Thank you so much.